All right, on the line now we have Wayne McCurry, a portfolio manager at FNB, to give us a view from the markets, a bit of commentary around what happened today. Wayne, good afternoon. Thank you for your time, or good evening, rather. It's been a bit of a rough day, I'll be honest with you. Well, it depends on where you look, I suppose. I mean, the overall market down 2/3 of 1%. There's some green, particularly in the banking sector, red mostly in the PGM sector. Capitec just still under the hammer. I mean, do you think this is still a hangover, really, from the data we saw out on Tuesday? The market, I think most people evidently expecting interest rates, or at least inflation, to be under control. CPI readings from the US clearly not under control. And the market just had a bit of a hissy fit ever since.
Yes. And look, where the actual problem is, I think, is that everyone knew the inflation story. This was not new news. It's been around for a year now, if not a little bit longer. And what I didn't understand, where the market got it wrong, was the big rally we saw up until the Fed Reserve Chairman's speech. So the market's just giving back what it should never have gone up by, quite frankly. So I think the Federal Reserve speech at Jackson Hole and the inflation number that came out this week were just triggers to make the market fall.
Right.
I don't think they're the reason why the market's falling. That little rally we saw was unjust. Well, it wasn't little. It was quite big.
Yeah,
it was actually massive. Unjustified given the economic background.
Yeah, and that was maybe just the market getting a bit... my thinking going into that, beginning of this week, is that what we actually saw was a bit of an options-led squeeze, right? I mean, there's a huge amount of open interest, bigger than we've seen in the last 4 years, which includes all the craziness during COVID. And a lot of it was call options, right? That people were buying call options. Okay, there was institutions were selling puts, so the smart money wins again. But retail was just piling into call options, and that, you know, had a bit of a gamma squeeze, I think. And it's maybe a bit confusing to the listener here, but, you know, essentially what happens here, just to explain, is that we have people buying the right, but not obligation, to buy a share at a higher price at some point in future.
Point in time, yeah.
And then the banks who sell these contracts have to make sure that they can actually give them the shares at these prices when that future point comes. And the closer we get to that, and the 16th is the big expiry date for these contracts, the closer we get to that, the banks become forced buyers, right?
Yes.
And that is then what happens where we see the short squeeze situation, which is, I thought, what was the driver behind this rally that we saw.
Yeah, no, it is the green market. The market peaked in, I can't quite remember when it peaked, but it peaked at about 72,000. You know, then it fell back. And then we had that very big rally that started. It peaked much higher. It peaked at about 75,000,
and
it went all the way back to 66,000. Then it went from 66,000 to call it 70,000. So it did that 8% rally, you know, eliminating probably 50-60% of the fall that we've had. And now we've just seen it really go back. Now I don't think it's going to go much lower than the previous lows. So, you know, maybe another 5%, 10% to go. But I think we are back in the bear market.
Yeah.
You know, that started essentially at the beginning of the year.
So, I mean, what's the way forward here? Next week, this is our last show for the week, so no show tomorrow, which means we don't really have another chance to catch up until next week, I guess. But I think, when is it, the 21st or the 22nd that the Fed comes out with their next FOMC statement?
Yes.
What do we think? Interest rates going up? I guess that's no surprise.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But I think only 0.75. There's a lot of talk going around now about 1%. I really don't think they're going to do it. But what we do know, unquestionably, is that inflation is enemy number one, and they're going to squash that irrespective of the economic cost. They're going to increase interest rates to a level that they think is justified to take down inflation. Now, inflation in the second half of next year is actually going to be low, very low in my view.
Yeah.
Simply because you're going to start measuring year on year, and oil, food, commodities, they're all going to be negative year on year. And I suppose, and everyone knows this. This is not news to anyone.
Yeah.
So there's two factors that the market's worried about in respect of U.S. inflation. One is this owner's equivalent rental, which is the cost of accommodation, and the other one is wage inflation. Now, the cost of accommodation, new house prices are already falling, so that will eventually work its way into that particular cost element. And then secondly, wage inflation is nothing like an economic slowdown and a possible recession to kill wage inflation.
Right.
You know, so I think both of these factors are going to be falling quite heavily in the second half of next year, and you're going to see inflation low. So I still think we'll see interest rate cuts at the end of next year, both locally and internationally, and then the pressure is off. But then, of course, we've got to survive from now until then.
Until then, right? It's a mighty long time.
In the interim, in the interim, inflation is still going to be high. It'll be falling, but it'll still be high. And then, of course, we'll also see the economy slowing down.
Okay. So, I mean, at least for us, there's opportunity here. If we see difficult economic conditions, difficult market conditions for the next 6 months, next 8 months, next 12 months, maybe.
That's when you buy.
It's time to buy, right? Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, the next move unquestionably is to buy. It's just, do you look, I think if you had to buy today, you'd be quite happy in 3 years' time.
Yeah.
But I also think if you had to wait another, I don't know, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, you can get it 5-10% cheaper, then you'll be way happier. Because, I mean, the next major equity market move is up. I just don't think we've seen the bottom yet.
Yeah, look, and I mean, it's always hard to time this stuff. And even if you look statistically, whenever the market is 25% down from the highs, historically, that is a very good opportunity to buy, as it offers the highest return over 5 years and 10 years from that point.
Everything,
right?
Every investment is the price you buy. If you buy at the bottom of, or when you're close to the bottom of a bear market, you always do well.
Yeah.
But, you know, the previous bear markets, 2008, 2002, 1998, 1996, 1992, 1987, 1982, 1976 and 1973, market's been anywhere between 30 and 45% down.
Yeah.
So I think it will be milder this time around simply because there's no debt bubble that's going to be burst by higher interest rates.
Yeah.
And that is a key, absolutely key differential between this period of high inflation and high interest rates and all previous periods that had the same characteristics. Because a lot of people are saying, look, inflation is much higher this time than we haven't seen inflation like this since 1982. That the economic impact and the market impact should be worse. I really don't think so. The one good thing that the global financial crisis did for the world's economy is it scared people off debt, especially the banking system, but consumers as well, the housing market and everything.
And if you look at banks today, I mean, credit loss ratio coming out of First Rand is like 58 basis points or something like that. It's really low, right?
It's very low. Look, they did overprovide, so they're writing back a lot of provisions, as are all the other banks.
But isn't those, aren't those lessons just like you said, lessons learned from 2008, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Now there's luckily, look, there is one debt bubble and that's government debt.
Right.
But I think my children will have to answer that particular problem. Because governments worldwide, not South Africa by the way.
International governments worldwide. Yeah.
When long bonds were below 1% in the major countries, and in some cases negative, the cost of money for the government was effectively zero. So they ran the huge deficits over the global financial crisis and the COVID crisis. Now, those interest rates, US in particular, were 0.6. They're now 3.4 or somewhere around there. Luckily enough, their debt book matures over the next 20 years. So they only have to refinance at the new rate spread over a 20-year time period.
Right. But okay, I mean, that's all we have time for today. Wayne, thank you very much. As usual, it is great having the opportunity to speak to you. And we wait with bated breath for the interest rate decision from the Fed. So that was Wayne McCurry, Portfolio Manager at FNB Private Wealth.